questions that could be of assistance. Ms. Avery? Mr. Rolokoma has been nominated as acting chairperson. Are there any other nominations?
Thank you. We'd like to also nominate Stephen Chongo as chairperson.
Mr. Bergman has nominated Mr. Chongo as chairperson, acting chairperson. Are there any further nominations for acting chairperson? No further nominations. Therefore, the committee will have to proceed to voting for the acting chairperson. I put the name of Mr. Rolokoma, those four. One, two, three. Committee will wait until Manana.
What are you doing?
The vote is not closed.
No.
I'm not going to do coffee. Thank you.
Check that smile now, they didn't
know. No, we're waiting for air.
We're waiting for
the
next.
No talking anything. We must announce the results.
So, I withdraw my...
We'll make it easy.
We'll make it easy, I'll withdraw. You're not even comfortable.
Can I just say, we do take this...
No, two days.
No, the committee proceed, there is...
Sorry, well, Cliff was to withdraw his nomination. So, but what I'm just saying is, we've done this in the sense that not to be destructive or obstructive, but meetings are very important, and we take representation very importantly.
That's correct. But the committee was hung. Right. There were three votes for Mr. Rolokoma as acting chairperson. May I now? Would you repeat, Mr. Mhlongo, are you still accepting the nomination for acting chairperson?
I've done that.
You have accepted?
No, I've withdrawn.
You've withdrawn. Mr. Mhlongo has withdrawn his availability as acting chairperson. So, therefore, Mr. Rolokoma has been elected acting chairperson. Mr. Rolokoma, would you take the chair, please?
The chair of the committee is not giving well. As
for the seed loop. The other member, Navarin Music, is going to have the Honorable Jaisa, maybe he will join us late as well. And then others are going to meet. So, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the House and the honorable members. My name is Alan Fritz and I'm the President of Sumo South Africa. On my right is Mr. Ziggy Morusi, he's the Deputy President of Sumo South Africa, and on my left is Sean Abrianza, who is the Chief Executive of Sumo South Africa. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You can proceed and lead us on the presentation as the President.
Thanks, sir. Our CEO will do the presentation this morning.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just to confirm, Chair, the detailed information is included in the following documents: our constitution and bylaws, which we forwarded; our audited annual financial statements, which we also forwarded; and then, unfortunately, we submitted the annual report, our full annual report this year, this morning. So it contains all the detailed information in relation to some of the statistics that we want to talk about. So what we try to do is not to belabor the presentation so much statistics and information, as it's all in the detailed annual report and the annual financials and the constitution and so on. So we will talk about some of these issues and we will make reference to those documents for further use. So just as our president highlighted, our delegation here is represented by our president, our vice president, and myself. Our executive committee consists of, other than us, an additional vice president, Mr. Jay Snyder, who is the immediate past president of Sumo in South Africa. The treasurer, Ms. Von Ellis. Our secretary general, honorary secretary general, Mr. Peter Thompson. Then we have additional members, Ms. Debbie Peterson, Ms. Louise Dachno, Mr. Indubo Rapunzel, and we've recently also co-opted Ms. Penny Ains as the athlete representative on our executive committee, and we also have Mr. Emil van Vierneisen as the executive committee member. So our executive is then running the affairs of the organization in between general meetings. Of course, the full General Council of Sumo in South Africa is the highest decision-making body, which is representative of all 9 our affiliates, or should I say all 9 our provinces. And then, of course, for the day-to-day affairs, myself and the chief executive is responsible for that. So in this presentation, we will deal with governance issues. We'll give some high-level feedback on governance. We'll give some high-level feedback on transformation. We'll give some indication of finance and sponsorship. Some feedback on programs, development and school programs, and preparation for international events. Now, as I indicated earlier, our governance component is for a large extent based on us having to be financially sustainable. So to that effect, we make sure that in all our governance instruments, which include the constitution, our bylaws, also our internal systems and policies, which includes various policies such as our delegation of authority policy, our governance policies. They all included it as part of our governance instruments. Our constitution we revised in November 2015. In the main, to address the director from CESPOC and SRSA to realign our organization in accordance with geopolitical boundaries, and also to make sure that our affiliates comply with our government requirements. A big part of our review was also to incorporate school support into our constitutional requirements as well as operational requirements. So the constitutional alignment in the main has been done to ensure that we are compliant with FINA. FINA is our international controlling body. FINA also reviewed a number of the governance requirements. They have included quite a few issues, one of them being they revised the structure of the organization to include five vice presidents from each continent, also to include a third vice president, and previously they had a secretary general, and it was changed to first vice president, and the operational management of an organization is then done by the executive director. Another important aspect of the FINA constitution that was added was the ethics, code of ethics, which actually became part of the constitution. We had to do the same and incorporate it as well with our constitution. Another important aspect was a revision to the constitution as well, to stipulate that any member serving as a FINA bureau member, which is equivalent of in South Africa, where we refer to an executive committee or a board in our sporting structures, becomes an actual official member of the Continental Confederation, in our case the African Swimming Confederation, and as well as with the national federation, their respective national federations. We have incorporated that as well into our constitution, and just as a matter of interest, the FINA vice president, which is also the president of the African Confederation, is Dr. Sam Ramsemi. So he is ex officio member of our executive committee, other than the fact that he's also honorary life president of Swimming South Africa as well. Then, of course, we had to realign our constitution as well in accordance with the requirements from the African Union Sports Council Region 5, of which our government is a signatory and a member. There's various requirements that the African Union Sports Council Region 5 has introduced for confederations within, and when I talk about confederations, I'm talking about Southern African confederations, which then had to dovetail down to national federations as well. So we've had to make sure that we are compliant with that, and also make reference to the African our affiliation to the African Union Sports Council through the Southern African Swimming Confederation, which is CANA Zone 4. We've also had to implement changes in accordance with requirements from CESCO, where I mentioned earlier the requirements for geopolitical boundaries alignment, as well as statutory introductions into all federations, or for instance, athlete commissions, coaches commissions, which in our terms, in our constitutions, are referred to as committees. So we have an athlete committee and a coaches committee incorporated in our constitution. Then as well, in terms of requirements related to SRSA, I mentioned earlier the alignment or bringing into line schools into our governance instruments. So we've actually stipulated the schools
structure into our constitution, and they've become a member with one vote at our general council as well. It's not been an easy process incorporating schools into our structures. There's still some challenges. As recent, we had to go to, or shall I rather say that we had to come down to Cape Town to deal with issues around the Western Cape School Sports Organization, and as well we've had to do the same in the Northern Cape as well. So there's quite a number of challenges, but that we can talk about later as well, where we talk about performance issues, specifically in relation to schools competitions and where they fit into our overall performance pathway. Then of course one of the biggest issues, or shall I rather say the most important alignment that we had to do in terms of SRSA was to restate our recognition in terms of the Sport and Recreation Act. Previously in our constitution, and I see a number of other federations still do the same in their constitutions, they refer to them being registered with SRSA, which is not factually correct or exactly correct. In terms of the Sport and Recreation Act, SRSA must recognize national federations in accordance with the Act, and there are certain requirements that those federations need to comply with to be recognized by SRSA as a national federation. We've had to specifically refer to that in our constitution to say that we are a national federation in accordance with the Sports Act, which then create the necessary legal framework for us to be recognized as an organization. That's quite important because, there's a lot of instances where, you know, people have seen loopholes to question the legal authority of national federations in terms of their role and what legal authority they have. Having effectively closed that gap in terms of how we stated our recognition by SRSA, it gives us full legal authority in relation to the areas that we are responsible for. Of course, one of the biggest parts of our alignment of all our governance instruments and constitutions and a range of other policies was alignment to the geopolitical boundaries. It's been a very long, hard road, very challenging. So far, fully of the 9 provinces, we have aligned, 8 provinces are aligned. 100% to what we ideally would like to see, and that largely is related to facilities availability in terms of making sure that there's district structures established, and of course clubs in those district structures. Of course the challenge there is availability of facilities, particularly in the geographically spread provinces such as the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape, where, you know, facilities are far and wide. Then of course Western Cape. Western Cape was the last province that we had to ensure that is in line with the alignment. Western province we've currently placed under administration to make sure that the alignment is completed. So by February we envisage that process to be completed, so they can have an effective administration in place. So in short, that is our overall governance processes. You know, I won't bore the committee with a lot of the detail, as all of those are included in our constitution and bylaws, and you know, in the questions answer session we can talk about that. Okay. With regard to transformation, our focus has been mainly to look at transformation in accordance with our structures and programs. It has a necessary requirement noting the context and impact of the EPG and the reporting format that we have to comply with in relation to the EPG. There's a very specific format that we have to comply with. In addition to that, we've had to, which we fully agree with, we had to sign a performance agreement with the EPG as well, which we did in early May, shortly after the appointment of the Honorable Minister Murphy. So we signed that agreement with Sport and Recreation as well as the EPG and SASCO in May this year. So there's quite specific criteria required in terms of that. And that in the main is focused on our structures at national level, provincial and district level. Of course, it's been a big challenge for us, noting that at the same time we've had to realign in accordance with the geopolitical boundaries, and noting the earlier comments I made about the availability of facilities. And then, of course, you know, the focus of our transformation program in regards to structures is the focus on black members, right, to make sure that black members are incorporated into our structures. It is, we've made it a constitutional requirement. My apologies, I forgot to mention earlier in the governance instruments that we've aligned. We've also made transformation a constitutional requirement in terms of our constitution. Of course, the next big challenge for us is now that we've more or less completed the geopolitical boundaries alignment. Our next step is to review all our affiliates' constitutions to make sure that they are compliant, and in addition to them being compliant in accordance with our constitution, their constitutions being compliant with the national constitution, that they also actually implement the effects of the constitution. So it's been fairly short space of time, from 2015, when we've implemented the new constitution. So we have just over 18 months, just under 18 months after we've implemented the constitution. So our focus first was to align geopolitically, and now we're going to interrogate the constitutions and make sure that the affiliates implement those measures. In terms of transformation programs, our biggest program is our Learn to Swim program. In this part, we're just talking about water safety, just to give an indication. We're in 2016, when we talk about 2016, so it was in terms of our season, from May 2016 to April 2017, you know, we have over 4,000, that might be a typo, I think it's 14,000 youngsters that we've put through our Learn to Swim program. The other focus area for us is a focus on developing black clubs, and specifically, you know, for this year, we've put a hold on establishing new clubs, to focus first on strengthening existing black clubs and make sure that they are adequately resourced and that we capacitate them to be able to deliver and help us to identify youngsters that we can fast track into our squads program. Our squads program we have revised, and we'll talk about them later on as well. Point out that the main focus of our squads is to identify talented black athletes and to make sure we provide specialized support for those black athletes. Okay, in terms, okay, we can see that. In terms of our financial history, I think we've put together this history of our finances so that there's an indic- there's some representation of how our financial situation has changed. If you see in 2011, we had a turnover in terms of income of just over 30 million. That has been in the main due to the excellent support we received from the National Lotteries Board and and our corporate sponsor at that stage, which is Telkom. And of course, you know, in 2011, at the end of 2011, Telkom revised their business strategy, and part of that was a sponsorship strategy, and of course, you know, they parted ways with us in terms of that. So you can see there's a significant drop in our income since 2011. And the other big factor was, of course, the National Lotteries Board, you know, where previously their support was, in the case of swimming, was in the area of 8 million per annum. It has now been capped at 5 million, and this has had a significant impact of in terms of funding. So from 2011, you can see the drop down in terms of our financial resources. There's been a steady drop down. In 2012, drop down in 5 million. We still have some reserves. You can see a further drop in 2013 to 17, 2014-17 as well. 2015 down to 13. Of course, you know, there's had a significant impact that we will later talk about. We had a bit of a recovery in 2016, but again, you know, we've more or less stabilized around 17 million. Again, the biggest contributing factor there is, you know, the difference between a corporate sponsor and the support from the National Lottery Board. Of course, this has downstream impacts, which we will talk about. Just to further expound on our finances, our income, in terms of our income is mainly generated internally from membership fees and competition fees and entry fees, grants from government, in the main from SRSA, then again broadcasting rights, that in the main is with the SABC. We've had a very good relationship with the SABC. I think in terms of their sports positioning, I think they've crossed a major bridge. We just hope that, you know, noting all the issues that they are going through, that it's not going to be a major departure from that for the SABC. Particularly if I look at ourselves in athletics, I think we've been the major Olympic coach has been receiving support from the SABC, and you know, we just hope that the committee can assist us to lobby the SABC to make sure that they don't change their strategy significantly in relation to sports. And then we have some smaller sponsorships, in the main our technical equipment supplier. We've just finished successfully renegotiating with them for another 5 years. That's they call the Arena, and that's the main sponsor that we have at the moment, quite significant. And then of course we have smaller sponsor of that in secondary is Rand Water. They primarily assisting us with corporate social investment programs, so their investment is mainly on our Learn to Swim program, and they focus on the areas where they have a presence. So that is in Gauteng, they have some presence in Limpopo, some presence in Mpumalanga, and you know, we do some club development and Learn to Swim programs with them in those areas. Then just in terms of developments, I spoke earlier about our squads. We have much more detail around this. our development program is focused on three areas, which is mainly our squads, and our centers of excellence, as well as our performance centers. Okay, so in terms of the squads, we have three tiers of squads, so to speak, main tiers of squads with sub-tiers in between. It's our elite squads, both at senior, youth and junior level, and then our senior, youth and junior squads. So when we talk about elite, senior, youth and juniors, we're talking about likely finalists and medalists, of course, provided they perform consistently, and the focus there is on 2020 and 2024. Then we have our senior, youth and junior. They are potential finalists and medalists. We make a differentiation between finalists and medalists, of course, provided they also, you know, show consistent form. Then we have a fast-tracking program, which is focused on black athletes, and it is where we identify athletes within this that we can then fast-track into the various squads at elite or at the senior, youth and junior level. And that mainly looks at making sure that we provide them with the necessary technical and logistical support so they can reach their full potential. Our centers is a key long-term focus for us. Right now, you know, while we have all these squads and all these other programs that we have, actually in the main the squads, you know, we need to ensure that we have proper long-term sustainability in terms of developing talent, both from a general performance requirement and then specifically in the transformation sustainability requirement. So we've looked at two main focus areas. One is centers of excellence. Here we are pursuing relationships with universities, key universities that buy into this. In this particular instance, we've concluded agreements with WITS. We are about to finalize an agreement with the University of Stellenbosch as well. And my apologies, I left off the University of KwaZulu-Natal, where we've gone quite far to sign an agreement with them. So the partnerships with the universities look at more than just athletes being based at universities and participating in sports activities. It's looking at a whole range of things. Research capacity development for swimming is worldwide. Currently there's no outright swimming specific research being done linked to national federations and universities. There are odd research papers here and there, but they are not definitive in terms of, you know, issues around talent identification and development for swimming and things like biomechanical interventions for swimming. So in terms of our relationship with these universities is to look at specifically at that as well, in addition to having programs, swimming programs at the universities. Other areas that we also look at is to create a particular swimming expertise through targeted career programs. For instance, with UKZN, we have actually finalized that. They've agreed to bursary specifically for swimming, swimmers and athletes that want to focus on sports science specifically in relation to swimming. So that has kicked off. They've advertised the call for admissions, and we circulated that widely, and in January we'll have the first intake of swimming-focused sports scientists at UKZN. So these partnerships, as you can understand, is going to be quite far-reaching. Our approach has been not to rush in and, you know, just kickstart a program. We want to form a coherent partnership with the universities where they gain out of it and we gain out of it as a sport. And our particular reticence were related to, you know, having seen other programs with universities that have become mere commercial programs rather than, you know, performance-related programs for long-term sustainability. Of course, our very hidden open agenda is to institutionalize swimming competition programs and performance programs at university. Of course, the step-down fund, that is our performance centers, very important for us, and those look specifically at schools with facilities, with boarding facilities that we can look at to develop our youth and junior programs. I think quite important for us, and this is in the context of a facility study that we did, that was required from SRSA, where we found that the available facilities, municipal facilities for swimming is very scarce. And in a lot of cases where there are facilities, they are in disrepair, and they're not being used. And we find that a lot of these of the facilities that exist and that are being maintained is at schools. And yes, a number of these schools are private schools and what we call former Model C schools. But if we look at wanting to make a serious impact on transformation and the performance sustainability of our programs, we've taken a decided decision that we have to form partnerships with these schools to make sure that, you know, we can provide in particular bursaries for black athletes with talent to be based in these programs so that we can deliver beyond 2024 for the country. Okay, so just the spread of these performance centers, these performance schools, we started in 2014. So we've got 16 to date, and you can see the spread there, mainly for one in Free State, 8 in Gauteng, and that's largely because of the high density of swimming pools and schools in Gauteng. 4 in KwaZulu-Natal, 2 in Mpumalanga, and 1 in Northwest. Okay, so just generally, I think the financial constraints, which are also big risks that we've looked at and what will and actually is impacting on two areas. One is our ability to ensure the sport transforms, and the second one in terms of performance, ability to perform over sport. We've already seen that impact. If you remember the previous slide where we showed the resources available at the end of 2011, the direct impact was in terms of swimming being able to perform at the 2012 Olympic Games. So you would see in the 2016 Rio Games, we've had to rationalize our resources, and that has had a direct impact on us being able to breed the next level of swimmers, so to speak, at a high performance level. So basically, we had the same two swimmers who performed in 2012, who we got there because of all the exposure we could give them internationally, also performing in 2016, but not at the level that they did in 2012. Bigger worrying factor is that, you know, it's, there was no one else other than the two of them. And having to rationalize the program has had that impact. So, you know, we spent less resources on where we needed to spend on them. Of course, you know, very clear indication, the big drop in resources, almost a 50% drop. You know, we require at least 36 million to do all the things that we want to do versus the current 17 million that we have. Which of course has this impact. Other bigger impact is facilities. As I mentioned earlier, it is a big problem in relation to two things. One is again performance. Bigger impact for us is on transformation. You know, a few weeks ago we've had an interaction with, for instance, with the city of Johannesburg, which has the highest density of swimming pools in the country, well, on the continent for that matter, and they were the highest number of swimming pools in black communities. Those swimming pools only opened at the end of November, in particular the ones in black communities, while the swimming facilities in suburbia were all up and running by the 1st of September. The ones in the black communities were only up and running by the 1st of November. And I'm highlighting Johannesburg, as this is a case in point across the country with all municipalities. Other municipalities are actually much worse, where they simply just close down the facilities. Of course, the exception there is Etakwene and Mangaung, where, you know, those municipalities have actively invested in sports facilities, in particular in swimming pools, and not just invested in keeping them open, but also upgraded them. I've seen specifically upgrades that they've done to the Blumanda swimming pool, Pochabelo, Tavanshu, Aidedao. So they're really driving that hard in Mangaung. The same in Etakwene as well. You know, Etakwene is worked very hard to upgrade the swimming pools, in particular in black communities, and that's already seen a difference in terms of black athletes. So the majority of our black athletes coming through are coming from the Etakwene area, in particular African athletes, and that's a direct impact of the improvement of facilities. Lately, we've also seen the city of Polokwane also starting to look at upgrading swimming pools. And of course, you know, that was as a direct result of the school's national championship that was held there this year. So we've seen that facility being upgraded. Of course, we used that opportunity of the school's championships, myself and the president, also to interact with the MEC and mayoral committee members to see if they can expand the upgrading of swimming facilities in Limpopo. I'm happy to say that that is starting to bear fruit. As I've seen, the MEC now has made swimming a priority and some of the Learn to Swim programs a priority in the strategic programs for this year. Of course, you know, a lot of this can be addressed if there's a strategic management of the municipal infrastructure grant for sports. Again, you know, while municipalities like the Tekwene, Mangaung, and lately now Polokwane have been accessing that successfully, other municipalities are not doing that for a whole range of reasons. Some of them, of course, related to the governance requirement for access to funding from me. So, you know, we've said that before, you know, that we think that that SRSA should seriously look at bringing back the sports facility budget into SRSA. You know, in the past, they used to have the Building for Sport program, and that was successfully introduced, and I think that could go a long way to assisting the issues around facilities. Then, in terms of our preparation program, I spoke earlier about long-term sustainability, looking at performance. So the interventions that we're looking at in terms of that long-term sustainability has been to look at the centers, right, to institutionalize our programs, both at tertiary level and at the school level. If you look at 2008, we had the largest number of Olympic A qualifiers, and that was largely on the back of, you know, I mentioned earlier the support we've had from Telkom, as well as from the national lotteries. So we've had to look at ways in which we can reintroduce, or rather look at what we can do to make sure our athletes have access to high-level competitions. And we've decided to look at a strategy that will mainly look, other than current international competitions, where we can participate and where we have resources for the athletes to participate at, that to create more higher-level competitions, both at age group level and at senior level, locally, for a number of reasons. In the main, it provides better access for our athletes to these high-level competitions. As you know, from an economic point of view, it's quite expensive to have swimmers go and participate internationally in competitions, noting, you know, the strength of foreign currencies, in particular the euro and the dollar, and the impact that it has on cost. So we've looked at a range of competitions that we're going to introduce. We've done the Grand Prix series, which we've now successfully run for the last two seasons, and we're going to strengthen that this year with the Grand Prix series again running this year as well. So it's three competitions this year, one in Cape Town, one in Durban, and one in Nelspruit. We're also going to look at the top provinces competition in the middle of the year. That is to make sure that, you know, we have a big competition here locally, as normally in that period is the Northern Hemisphere summer, where all the major competitions happen in the Northern Hemisphere. So we want to make sure we have a comparable competition period in South Africa as well for our local athletes. Same, looking at the junior short course competition, that focus on the lower age groups, and then of course, you know, us needing to look specifically at schools' competitions and how they fit into our performance pathway. I mentioned earlier about, you know, the challenges we're having around schools. One of the bigger challenges is that, you know, the current schools' competition does not fit anywhere into our performance pathway. So with the schools committee, we've agreed to a temporary measure to allow the schools competition to go ahead this year. But ideally, this is a competition, or should I rather say it's a format that should be an integrated approach with our age group competitions. It doesn't make sense that so much resource is spent on a competition which basically focuses mainly on funding the heirs. You know, I think we need to look at the fundamental shift in terms of school sport and the competitions. At the moment, it's been a hybrid between a developmental level competition and an elite competition. And really, you know, we need to make a call. It's a tough call, but our position is very clear. We said for schools, our focus should be at the bottom end, right? Developmental level, so that we can have a serious and dynamic impact on our transformation agenda. And we've been quite clear about this. We're going to drive it very hard with our school's body and hopefully convince SRSA as well that this is a way to go. We have to make sure we maximize resources. We can't have parallel systems. We don't have enough resources in this country, as you can see, in terms of our financial situation, where we can spend 20 rand on this side and 20 rand on this side, and, you know, where we spend the 20 rand here, it's the same people that the 20 rand is spent on here. We need to spend the 20 rand lower down to complement our transformation objectives. Also, we're then looking at the National Age Group Program, which basically we want to make sure that all the athletes at the SNAP can see where they are ranked in the country and what they need to do. It's all part of our bigger awareness building of creating a competitive environment for our athletes to try and, you know, strive for higher levels of competition. Just in terms of our preparation program, we've already done our preparation programs up to 2020. This includes everything we did from 2016. So you can see, you know, we've clearly identified all the competitions that we need to participate in the build-up for the 2020 Tokyo Games. So you see all the competitions is placed there in terms of our program. We just finished the World Championship in Budapest, Hungary. Major international competition. We've seen the World Cup is being finished now, where Chad has been doing very well, very likely to win that competition as well. You know, that's all our competitions. You can see the competitions, the program, preparation program is divided up into cycles to maximize the athlete's preparation, performance preparation and conditioning. So, roughly, just to give you an idea, for swimming, our cycles work on 6-week cycles. So, after every 6 weeks, that is at the end of a 6-week cycle, it's a major preparation period and performance period for an athlete, right up until 2020. Chair, that is our presentation in a nutshell. Thank you very much, and if there's any questions, we open to respond to any questions.
Okay, President,
done.
Anything that you want to?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to maybe highlight two aspects of the presentation. One is that governance, our governance structures are very strong, and we have designed a lot of systems around that because over the last 2 to 3 years, sport in particular has been in the media for all the wrong reasons. Our general counsel is governed by our constitution, and Sean has highlighted some of the aspects of our governance instruments. We are particularly pleased to report to this oversight committee that it's working well for swimming. The second aspect that I want to highlight out of is that our focus has shifted fundamentally to develop swimming across communities. Just over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I spent extensive time, and for those that are familiar with Johannesburg, Cosmos City is on the outskirts of Roodepoort, predominantly a back area, and there is a fantastic swimming school. On last Saturday I was there, and there was over 150 kids from that community participating in swimming, really well advanced, beyond my expectations. I was in Midrand, a college called Summit College, where kids from across Gauteng, in different swim schools, participated in a swimming gala, and I'm glad to report that more than 30% of the participants were Black African children. Our biggest challenge, Shal, is facilities. Was in the Eastern Cape. Particular areas of concern is the King Williamstown area, Zwelitsha area. There are big plans in East London from Dansani to establish a swimming facility. Those are generally areas that swimming has been very strong in the past. The poor maintenance of facilities are there are costing the third tier of government a lot of money, because facilities fall in disrepair to such an extent that it costs more. It's almost better to build a new facility. We are extremely happy with what's happening in Polokwane, and particularly the surrounding areas of Polokwane and Limpopo. Our MEC there has got high levels of energy, and we are very, very happy to report that she has now made swimming, because of the rural nature of the province, kids drowning in rivers and dams, has made it a priority. The investment from Mangaung and looking at after their facilities is certainly a feather in their cap. It's true what our CEO says, that swimming is a resource-intensive sport, because if you don't compete internationally, you will not be good enough. If you look at where, particularly the United Kingdom, Australia, I want to exclude America because they do have vast resources. Some of the top swimming nations in the world is that the investment from a government perspective is quite huge. We will never be able to compete effectively with those kind of resources, because our country is is just not in their league. But certainly the resources that are there, we can optimize, and as Sean has said, we can spend it better. We need to shift a little bit from where we sit, is to shift down across communities and make sure that we interact with local authorities to make sure that the facilities that are there are useful for communities.
Yeah, Mama. Right. Now it's our time. Comments, questions. Honorable Mhlongo, Bergman, Mabika, Manana, Abrahams, and then Honorable Musi will be the last.
Sure, we welcome the presentation. I've raised some concern in the way the presentation was done. I think we have to maybe improve it somewhere. For example, your board of management, you keep on saying Mr. and we don't have it on the presentation. All of them are Mr. I only have one Mr. Now there's no diversity, but I cannot confirm because it's not even on the presentation. But I was listening attentively, Mr. Only one miss, which if I did, you'll correct me if I didn't hear that. But in future, it must be on your presentation, and must have their faces for us to make sure that there's diversity. Because we question the diversity part of the leadership. Under transformation, your focus, according to what I've seen in this presentation, and the presentation that I have and that one, they don't go together, the one that's an email. For an example, on transformation, your focus was on black African participant only in 2014. To date, what is happening? 2014, according to this, it's 4,553. What is the status quo for today? Because it's not there unless you have a presentation. The income, I'm going to finance share because I've got several, and I'll leave other issues to my colleagues. I'll go to income and expenditure. Your presentation is not even telling us you are at a loss for the 2016 financial year. You are at 98,904. But it's black, and there's red colors that you use. There's contradiction when you report back to us. What is the status of using a red, but when you are at a loss, you use black color? And if you don't know the figures until I calculate you, you've made a loss. In other words, I know you're one of the challenges is finance. You stated here, but for us to have a clear understanding of basic amounts, you always work, your income is less, but your income is less, yes, and your expenses are more when you check your finances. And I wanted to find out, can you name your sponsorship? Who are they? Roughly give us a percentage, a figure, because the question why I follow it up, according to your presentation, your current resources is 17 million, but your requirement resources is 36 million, which is, how will you get the 19 million? What is the strategy for us for Sumo South Africa to get 19 million? Then give us the picture of how many sponsors you have, roughly percentage-wise, this they give you this. And I was confused with even one of your grants. There's internal grant, there's government grant. Can you stipulate exactly how much are they giving you? And then we'll be able to assist them to see what is the way forward. Let me not go further. I have several observations I've made, but thanks for that.
Okay. Honorable Bergman.
Chair, thanks very much. And I must say that I actually also share the concerns of my colleague in terms of transformation. You know, when you look at transformation, what you want is not just about race or religion, it's also about gender. And I'm quite interested to know, Arnold and Natalie Dutoit says, I'm quite interested to know what the split in female to male swimmers are that Swimming South Africa support, specifically. Whether they finance any athletes to go on these overseas trips. I understand what they're saying, that you know, you need that exposure to be relevant. So does Swimming South Africa finance any of their athletes, and if so, how many of those athletes are female and how many of those athletes are actually male? I'm very surprised to hear about the relationship with SABC, because this is about the only sporting committee that praises SABC's relationship. So I'm quite interested to hear that, what they're getting right that the others cannot get. Obviously, the more TV rights there are, the better chance of sponsorship there is. But the problem with our swimmers is that they get individual sponsorship. So, you know, it's not like rugby, cricket, or any other team codes. Your sponsors tend to want to sponsor individuals, you know. Now, what do you do to share the load, so to speak? Because it's a hand-in-hand situation. If you're getting SABC giving you TV rights, it's not just about the performer. It's also about the fact that there's an activity that's being broadcast. So there should be sponsorship that's coming to the team and not necessarily just to the individuals. So I'd just like to hear that first. Thanks.
Another Mabika. Speak to that one, yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to start by welcoming the presentation by Swimming South Africa. Chairperson, I heard the presenter mentioning the fact that your constitution is now in line with the constitution, I think, of the Republic. Then my question is to, when did you finally align your constitution? I think it is around 2005, if I'm not mistaken. 2015, yes. If that is the case, why did it take you so long to align your constitution with the constitution? And what are the specific areas that was not in line with the constitution that you saw the need to change the constitution so as to align the constitution? Chairperson, I am also not, I don't know whether to say I'm not happy when it comes to rural swimming development. It seems like the transformation is going very, very at a very slow pace when it comes to swimming. Because if you look at their development centers, they say they've got about, they started in 2014, but they've got only 16. And they are mentioning only, out of the 16 that they are having, they are only mentioning 5 provinces. Some provinces like Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Limpopo, and Northern Cape. are not there. So that tells how slow is the pace of development. And I think even the 16 that is being mentioned here will be in those will be around the urban areas. I don't think that, because if you say you have got four development centers in KZN, you have got four. KZN has got 11 districts. Surely the four will be around those that are urban and anywhere else in among the five provinces. So one wonder if we'll ever see, assuming I know that the problem will be the infrastructure, but I wonder if assuming South Africa can ascertain us that they are in they are making efforts to ensure that even a rural child is given an opportunity to participate in swimming, as you have mentioned, that swimming is more of an international sport. So we would want to see rural kids being also exposed in this kind of a sport. I thank you, Chair.
Honourable Manan.
Thank you, Chair. We are used on welcoming the presentation, even if there is something that it needs corrections on it.
Thank you, ma'am.
So I'm welcoming it as well. So I just want to add on what my colleague has been raised, Honorable Mabika, on the issue of transformation. When we talk about the transformation is broad. We can't talk about the transformation that we want to see Honorable Manana go and participate because of the color. We want to see the sporting code being transformed in a certain areas, especially the deep rural areas, where these people that didn't even have a chance previously, they've been denied, I must put it on record, that they've been denied that chance of participating in a different sporting code. We want to see those in those deep rural areas. That is why you have still to work hard, Swimming South Africa, on the issue of sponsors. Because we know exactly that sports is being underfunded. And we have been trying as a committee. We have tried. And we are keep on trying to ask if they can. Because, look, sport is uniting our people in this country. It's even uniting everyone. So we want to see people participating in sport so that you go deep in those rural areas. Now I'm looking at your documents, although I've welcomed them because you have just taken your time by typing your cartridge, everything. I was looking at your documents here. The table of contents, it does not correspond with what is written there. Even your, this one is a, it's worth, this one is a bylaw. If you look at your index, it does not, because you can go and search and say, let me check, you've even jumped 2.0 on the code of conduct. You said 2.1, 2.2, there is no 2.3 and 2.4. You just jumped to 2.5. So that's why I say it's misleading. To me, it sounds as if you just made cut and paste, or you just say, ah, we know this member, They are too old. We let's take this document they had going to read. That's my... I'm concerned about what I'm seeing here. And same on the strategy 2020. So what... on this presentation, I can agree on what you have written here, but I will just say maybe you are misleading us as well as you have been misled us on these two documents. Okay, in the development centers, according to your presentation, you want to focus on the schools with facilities. That's why I say you have to work hard engaging the sponsors so that they can sponsor you. What if you come across with some learners in numbers in a certain school whereby there are a lot of participants in swimming but they don't have those facilities? What are you going to assist them? It's where you have to go to sponsors so that they can assist you to assist those schools. And the challenges, the president was talking about everything, because I was expecting you to say some of the things are a bit well, you are still going there, but you just say it's working well, as long as you're still facing some serious challenges, especially in rural areas, you cannot say everything is well. It's not well with swimming. Swimming, we can just see, you can watch the TV, people are swimming there when they are going for the international event. But we want to see them ever in those areas. No, let me just, because some of the issues have been touched by my colleagues here. Really, you must attend on this document because to me it doesn't sound well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, let me align myself with thanking the members for the presentation. Also, on the same document, the bylaws, which is a legal document, the numbers, besides just missing numbers, the whole document doesn't correspond with the in and outside, so if that could be corrected. In a court of law, I can imagine if the judge has to look for certain numbers and then everybody else has to look, it won't correspond. So I don't know how the document was done, because it seems like there's no editing taking place within the department. Mine goes around the incorporating in schools. I'd like to know, how do you incorporate the ordinary kids into these schools, and especially rural areas and townships, and where the nearest swimming pool is sometimes a very long distance. So how do you let everybody benefit? Swimming sounds like a very, very elite sport. Now, I'm sure the members have touched on the transformation, so I won't touch that, but how do we just get the ordinary child to learn how to swim? We had learning how to swim, I think it's swimming, learn how to swim, is that still a program that's working? Also focus on black members. We didn't have the presentation in front of us, and my question was there, what is your definition of black members? But then you could say they're the African black, which I always disagree, sitting here as a black person in South Africa. When I hear that, it actually it doesn't go well with me when I'm black, and there's certain focuses on black. And sometimes people justify, but I think we run the country by the constitution, and not what people say we must do when they say we want you to focus on African pink or African blue. Black is black. Thank you. How successful are you in recruiting members into swimming? And then also, what is your ratio with the black South Africans? And hubs in South Africa, you've mentioned hubs. Do you have disability hubs? And if you do have disability hubs, where can we find these hubs? How do you incorporate disabled people, I'm talking all ages, into participating in swimming? We'd all like to learn how to swim in our communities. Is swimming just for people that's in formal structure, or is it for any South African that wants to learn how to swim? Um, Yes. How do you, when you go visiting these areas, you've mentioned you've been in Johannesburg, how do you ascertain that they do follow legislation when they build new swimming pools? And then also the existing swimming pools, are they equipped for disabled people? In my own community, I think we've got 4 swimming pools, only one that's got some equipment, but when you go there, it's always not working. And that is a municipality problem, but how do we maintain that? Are there age limits for swimming? The water pools you've mentioned in your strategy plan, then there's 10 installed, 10 maintained, 10 operational in the rural schools. How can community participate in these facilities if they're outside the school environment? Because I see your focus is mainly on schools. But how do ordinary community that's not part of the school system participate? Performance schools, you've mentioned it, you've installed in private schools. And for me, it's a concern where private schools normally do know what to do, how to do, and they can maintain it, but all the sponsorships, like one of the members mentioned. How do we make sure that we just put these in ordinary places where ordinary people can live an ordinary life and learn how to swim? And in your marketing too, you've mentioned that you had a gala event. First time that I hear about it. How do you market? How do you go about letting everybody in South Africa know so they can participate and you can perhaps have more sponsorships at these sporting events? Yes, I've asked how you successfully should learn how to swim. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I also was a bit worried about, you know, the transformation as far as women participation in your presentation. And also the rural areas. I come from KZN, and all you have mentioned are sort of areas around, you know, the cities, Durban, and the deep rural areas. How do a child that comes from those deep rural areas going to be able to, you know, to reach out? I'm also worried about the fact that, you know, all right, so your presentation is always around the schools and so on. How about the community? How about the elderly and the disabled people? Are they included in your programs or presentation? Yeah, thank you. But I have been covered by my colleagues and others.
Honorable Moshi.
Thank you, Sir President. My apologies for it coming. No, just one question to person that perhaps was touched by my colleagues. Honorable Madeka spoke about it, Honorable Manana, Honorable Beth, Honorable Thomas spoke about of the rural areas. But I just want to add to person that, you know, it looks like it's a concern of rural areas. And if we cannot do anything about it, I think chapters need to take a number of years that apartheid took, you know, before it transited into democracy and transformation for rural areas to be developed and swimming introduced in. You'd agree, chapters and everybody, that previously it was a white spot. You know, black people did not, you know, see it as a sporting, or could not take it as a career. I would imagine, Chairperson, that, you know, when we grew up, part of my life was in Soweto, and I must indicate that by comparison with any other place, it was better off, because I would remember some few during apartheid, some few areas, maybe within a radius of 20 km, you'd have about three swimming pools where, you know, township children would do about two cents, 3 cents, 5 cents, and swim for as long as they could. And there was nothing in rural areas, because that was only done for recreation purposes. Now I'm saying, Chairperson, that if we cannot do anything about the rural areas, we are running ourselves into a problem. Because passion is there. You see them when you pass rural areas, they swim in mud dams, they swim in rivers like you have indicated, that some of them would even drown. Now I'm checking, I just wanna check with you. Do you perhaps, given what we have said, have a fully fledged program, perhaps a research, some sort of a professional research that you are doing that would check as to what should be done in order for us to introduce swimming in rural areas? It should be some form of a research. It must be professional, it must be fully fledged, it must indicate, you know, as to how much is required. Because we really sympathize with you that there is a financial and constraint and resources. But perhaps can you try to engage into that so that when you come to appear before the committee, you indicate us to what you have done. Just that research. And thank you, Chairperson.
Members, can I just ask two questions and then we'll hand over to you? The first one is your development plan. Given the challenges of facilities, in particular, I'm worried that you didn't mention major centers like Cape Town and PD. You only mentioned Johannesburg and Polokwane. But there are also major centers like Nelspruit. So the question is really of your pipeline or your development plan for us is key, given the constraints of the facilities. My last question is around transformation. In particular, you touched on geopolitical alignment, and I see we still have got the challenge with Western King. But how many affiliates do you have? And out of those affiliates that you have, how many are compliant? Thank you, President.
Thank you, Chad. In a number of questions, and I'll try and deal with them as systematically as possible. And where I do not respond fully on the questions, my colleagues will fill in. You know, if there's something particular that I've left out, please just raise them again. I'm just going to make sure that I've covered the items that honourable members want responses on. The one is the gender issue, the financial system, the reporting, black swimming. I will talk a little bit about our squads and our squad integration, relationship with the SABC, marketing swimming and seeking sponsorship, constitutional and certainly boundary alignment. When was the directive of alignment applied? The development centers I'll spend a little bit of time on. Transformation was raised by almost all members. Bylaws and poor documentation. I accept when I look at my documents is in order, but I really do apologize. We will make sure that the right documents get to the committee. The whole notion of disability and how we integrate disability sport. Schools participation was raised. Age limit of when you start swimming. The development plan. Areas relating to Cape Town and Port Elizabeth. Why are there no centers of excellence or performance centers? And how many affiliates are there? I covered most of them. Yes. Okay. Firstly, my apologies for the poor documentation. It's certainly not our standard.
And I must just apologize if I created an expectation that everything is well. Everything is in fact not well. What is well is our governance. I am particularly proud of that. As a governance expert in my corporate life, I'm particularly proud of what we've achieved in swimming. I will ask our CEO to report on the financial figures for you, sir. But what I want to start with in terms of leadership, we are, I would be the first to admit, somewhat underrepresented in women. We have three women on our executive. Mrs. Louise Zlefnok, she hails from the Limpopo province. Mrs. Debbie Peterson, and from Gauteng.
From
Penny Haines. Okay, so our representation in women does meet the standard, but for us, it's not quite the way we want to be. Just drill down further, we have a number of women presidents in our affiliates. Ray Bester is down in the Western Cape. Excuse me. Louise Blochnot is in Limpopo. Eastern Gauteng has just elected Mrs. Knight, who's the president, Cheryl Knight. And also throughout the affiliates, women are really slightly underrepresented, but there is a lot of women representation. Before I get to the others, I want to quickly talk about the developmental aspect. For us in swimming, learn to swim is our flagship. There's no doubt. And I don't think the report are doing justice to the information given to you. It's very, very difficult to try and put everything into a report or a presentation. I also have the view that maybe we should report more than once a year to the committee, okay? Even if it's just allowing the committee to receive our information. Just for the sake of the committee, if you really want to follow the developmental aspect, our program put together on SABC at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning is directly focused in communicating to swimming to South Africa. We have, what you've seen on the screen is part of our flagship program. In the Learn to Swim environment, there are four aspects. There's Rural Splash. I'll come back and talk a little bit about that. There is Ocean Splash. There is, there's the Porter Pool program. And I'll tell you exactly where they are. And there is the training of officials, which is the education aspect. If you look at what we've done in Jozini up in KwaZulu-Natal and certainly in the Skaweni area in terms of development, for those of you that are going to your respective areas in our country, in Port Elizabeth, there will be a massive event on the beach, which is a splash polo and teaching kids to be water safe. The same up in the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, right from Mhlanga upwards. There's a program being held in Sun City, and so it goes across the country from a rural, from an ocean splash point of view. Rural areas, we have a very, very big drive, right from particularly Limpopo, because people out of Gauteng migrate back during the holiday times. People come to the coast. And you will find we will make sure the committee get systematic the events where these are taking place, and then we would highly, highly appreciate it if you could attend some of them. Splash polo you'll find in the Western Cape on the beaches, you'll find it in Eastern Cape on the beaches, you'll find it in KwaZulu-Natal. The entire coast will have those splash polo events. The rural splash, I think I don't have all the areas on my fingertips at the moment, but they are certainly right from the start of September, starting in Soweto. There was one in the East Rand, and so on. The entire program for teaching kids water safety and preventing drownings, because our country's drownings is extraordinary high. Schools, let me just talk a little bit about schools, in particular the performance centers. Schools is for us the cradle.
And we have a detailed school strategy that's been mapped over the last 3 years with the Department of Basic Education and also Sports and Recreation. With all the bumps and so on, we have arrived at a position where both departments have said that swimming is a priority. What is it that we do? We had, a joint task team that mapped the strategy in terms of how we firstly going to align the competitions to ensure that there isn't one-sided application of resources, and resources are placed where it's required, and that's where we are in terms of schools. In terms of the performance schools, I'm going to ask the committee to understand the split between mass participation and elite. Performance schools is where it starts in terms of elite swimming. Mass participation is the 4 or 5 programs I've mentioned in terms of rural splashes, our dams and our rivers, and ocean splashes, and learn to swim in our swimming pool, and the development of instructors. And I would particularly would like to take responsibility just over the next couple of weeks, ask our CEO to compile a report for a committee just on the learn to swim environment for your better understanding. I've been in swimming certainly for a very long time, since about 1978, and Soweto was one of the shining examples of swimming in this country many, many years ago. Orlando, where there was a swimming pool and a very, very strong club, produced swimmers of real high quality. Many of you would, if you grew up certainly in Soweto, you remember the names of Mona Tebe, Sena Konyane, Tabo Tsetsonyane, and they were the driving force behind swimming many, many years in apartheid years. And I always say something has gone fundamentally wrong in black swimming, because there's a notion that black people don't swim. That's nonsense. It's absolutely incorrect. If you spend time in the coastal area from Butterworth upwards to Port St. John's, you'll find all the lifeguards right up to Durban are black lifeguards. Okay. Come to Port Elizabeth and so there are more and more black guys coming out of swimming into a job that's called a lifeguard. Our problem in swimming today, Charlie family, is our facilities are poorly maintained. But we don't regard this as an excuse, because where there's water, we teach kids to swim. We are way off in terms of what we want to achieve, because South Africa is a very hot country, and first thing kids do is they migrate to water, and if a kid is not water safe, that kid's in danger. And if I could at the same time just answer the question of why our budget is around about 40 million, 36 million, and we only have 17 million, is that to do what we want to do between the two tiers of swimming, mass participation and elite swimming, we need resources to reach our goals. And our goal is simply that every child in this country should be water safe through our various programs. It is always good for us to produce medals, because it makes our country feel good, it makes us feel good about ourselves. But we can only be competitive. We can only be competitive if we compete internationally. I was just going to use the example of our rugby, but I don't think it's a good example, because as a former rugby player myself, I don't think it's where we want to be. But swimming is unfortunately a sport that you're on your own with your coach, and you've got to produce. And you've got to produce good results. And if you've seen what some of our lead swimmers has produced with very little exposure, international exposure, it does make our country proud. Where we are, Jefferson, where we are behind the rest of the world is simply because of resources. Our relationship with the SABC, I will ask Mr. Malusi to talk about, but just from a marketing perspective, we have approached in excess of 124 companies for sponsorships. From the Cecils of this world to the smaller organ companies. And we are knocking on doors. People say, thank you very much, it was a good presentation, we love the sport, we will let you know. And of course, nothing happens. We are extremely, extremely pleased. I don't know, Mr. Malusi Stando on the SABC and the involvement with us. It really, really augurs well. And I would be failing in my duty if I don't ask this committee to ensure that the SABC, through its other structures within Parliament, get the acknowledgement at least. In, amid all darkness, there's something good that they do. Our constitutional alignment, another directive came around about 2014, that we should align to geopolitical boundaries. I don't have to tell you because you know in most ports there were provinces within a province and inner province and so on. I am from the Eastern Cape, so we had border, we had EP, we had inland and so on. It did take a bit of time, more than two years, three years almost, to realign. And we are happy to report that all our districts are in place. In the 8 provinces, the only district that are not fully up and running is in the Western Cape. Okay? There are 6 districts in the Western Cape. Eden, around the George area, is performing extremely well. We are now implementing Winelands and so on and so on. And we envisage by the end of March that the Western Cape would also be up and running. So the geo-alignment will be fully in place by around March, April. Transformation in swimming. My personal point of view is that we are not where we should be. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Being a person that's been sports like rugby and swimming for a very, very long time. And there's a couple of factors that hampers that. Facilities is certainly one of them. Financial resources is one of them because we've got to train people to reach people. If you take, for example, Northwest, our Northwest province is doing very well in a rural-based province to reach kids that are previously been denied swimming. If you look around the Rustenburg area, and if I could just link that to the composition of our junior national team, junior African champs, and our junior national team that participated in Cairo, Egypt, was certainly well represented in terms of African or black kids. Why the notion of focus on African, black African? Our representation in terms of colored and Indian swimmers is extremely good. We are underrepresented in African black and hence the focus on African black. Okay? We've got no excuse not to reach an African kid. And we should do African black kid and we should do that. Ma'am, I understand we share the same sentiment as you. But we are well represented in the colored and Indian communities, but underrepresented. Sorry, sir? When I say well, I mean reasonably well. Okay? We've made good strides. Okay? There is a big focus on rural swimming. And our rural province, Limpopo, is certainly going to be the shining light coming in the future. We are very, very pleased with what's happening with the leadership, especially the leadership with sport. The mayor, executive mayor of Polokwane, we have never seen such a reception and such a commitment. And we understand that government doesn't have all the money. And government can't do everything. It's impossible. But if the willpower is there and the political will is there, as we call it in our country, then we will get somewhere. Swimming generally in South Africa is not where it's supposed to be because, as I said, we are an extremely hot country and we should do, as a leadership of swimming, I accept that responsibility, we should do much, much more. I'm going to ask Sean to talk more about sponsorships. I have apologized for the poor table of content in our reporting. I just want to say to the committee, we would never dare mislead you. Never. Okay. Because
We need you more than what you need us. Development plan in terms of Cape Town and PE. There is already agreement in place with the university, just to be signed with the University of Stellenbosch. We are also talking to the University of Cape Town, swimming at the University of the Western Cape. It's going very well. Okay. It's really producing what we want. There's a bit of a issue for us because the people that were running the program at the University of the Western Cape are now employed at the University of Stellenbosch. That means we have to relook at the resource allocation of qualified coaches. There was a question on how many affiliates we have. We have 9 provincial affiliates. We have 52 districts. Is that right?
Just
want to make sure that I've covered everything. So we need to cover the financial question. Disability. I just want to talk to disability a little bit. Our drive on disability is not to be separate. We have taken a decision around 2008 to integrate disability into all our existing structures. Over the last 10 years, disability swimming slightly dropped in Rio. Has done exceptionally well. If you look at the medal tally, at all our international events, local events, our disability swimming was most probably the strongest of all sports in the country. We have a slight drop-off of disability swimming at international level, but that's due to various reasons, not only financial. It takes a very special coach to coach a disability swimmer at elite level. I do agree that not all our facilities are disability friendly, and a lot of work needs to be done with municipalities in that regard. The age for swimming is, we teach babies from 6 months old to swim, so basically no age limit to when you learn to swim. I'm not sure from your point of view. I'm just going to ask my two colleagues, Sidi, will you talk quickly about the relationship with the SABC? And Sean, will you come back to the financial issue?
Thanks, President. Through you, Chair. The relationship with the SABC has been going on for many years, and we can credit this to, you know, how back in the days, the investment that Telkom was putting into swimming, which indirectly the corporation was benefiting from in revenue point of view. But I think how the sport has performed over the years in terms of the delivery of medals, it's something that the broadcaster has been proud about over the years. But that is also further exacerbated by the Learn to Swim program, because you know, through the corporate social responsibility angle, which the Learn to Swim program is covering, and you know, understanding the amount of drownings that we are currently in terms of the Learn to Swim program, it's particularly something that the broadcaster is proud to be associated with. Now, from a broadcasting you know, rights fees, you know, we're not an expensive sport. And I want to believe that based on the negotiations that we entered and agreed with them, they saw it quite befitting that whatever amount of investment that they're putting into swimming, it's something that's working for them, particularly given the perceived value that they as a broadcaster are deriving out of it. And just from a human relations point of view, most of the directors and officials within the sporting organization at the SABC are people that we've known for years, and I guess, you know, how we've nurtured the relationships over the years has really assisted us in maintaining you know, the relationships that we have to date. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Chair. Through you, just feedback on some of the issues. Diversity has been dealt with. The issue in terms of numbers, again, I repeat that the annual report we've included, right? So some of the details, well, all the details in the annual report. Just in terms of the question on how many learners went through, Learn to Swim, black learners went through the Learn to Swim this year in 2016, it's just over 11,000. Okay, so in 2016, and then just over 11,000 went through the Learn to Swim program. You will see in the annual report, it divided further up into the portable pool program. There's a water safety program, there's a rural space program, there's also a space program. But overall, just over 11,000. Then, Mr. Munushi did speak about SABC, just to further elaborate. So, the relationship with the SABC is a combination of two things. One is a right see, and the second one is exposure. So, the exposure is a combination of a weekly magazine program, and then also, depending on the event type, they will either do delayed live or live delayed, or they will do a highlights package. But, you know, it's been very successful, very good for us to start it. There was a slight delay from the time that we signed the contract before transmission started, because we started transmission late in 2016, Zik. With actual on-air transmission, but SABC has been very generous and have tried to make up with that for us. So it has delayed the awareness building, but hopefully, you know, with our relationship with them, we will increase the relationship with them. I'm not sure about other federations, but we are very grateful for what the SABC has done for us. You know, it's not been easy to get the relationship back on track again, you know, But it's very grateful. It's already having an impact on increasing awareness, and we're quite certain it will assist us tremendously in trying to bring corporate sponsors on board as well. Why did it take so long to align our constitution? The alignment was done in 2015. Remember, between the time that the national sports plan was adopted, which was in 2011, the regulations regarding the sports plan, I think it took about another 12 to 18 months before it was formalized, right? And between SRS and SASCOC, the regulations was put in place. So that was about 2 years, so 2013 it came in place. And then we then had to look at when the regulation, we had to study the sports plan in depth and the regulation to make sure that we make the necessary alignment. That's why it took so long to align our constitution. And we also had to look then at the other role players and stakeholders that we need to align with. Okay. The question in terms of the loss, yes, that's correct. That's in the main due to an event we hosted last year in Bloemfontein, the African Swimming Championship. So at the end of the financial year last year, we still have not received the funding from Free State Provincial Government and from Mangaung Municipality. So that actually contributed. Actually, that's a contribution towards the loss. Although we've covered most of the expenses from our reserves, you understand why we're so thankful, Chair, for the SABC, because without that, we wouldn't have been able to cover that from our reserves. But yes, that funding is still outstanding from those two government departments. In terms of highlighting all our income, again, both in the annual report and the annual financials, it is broken down. Point taken that we should have just highlighted in the presentation. Just a rough breakdown. And again, you know, I just want to express the issue about how far this goes, because, you know, with rights, you know, you as rights holders, we have to deal with different corporates or rights buyers, you know, so you don't want to play your hand too openly. Otherwise, you know, everyone knows what you're worth, and then you know, have no leverage in terms of rights, if you understand what I mean, Jay. So SRSA, 2 million, right? I've just rounded it off. Gauteng provincial government, 600,000, although with the establishment of our
provincial
structure, the affiliate in Gauteng, the funding now goes through them. We were just the custodian until they were properly established. ARENA is our technical equipment sponsor, plus minus 1 million. Rainwater, plus minus 1 million. SABC, plus minus 3 million. Then in terms of the president is addressed the other issues, unless I missed something.
Sir, I just want to wanted to give one more feedback, I think, which is important. In Port Elizabeth, there's a very exciting project in KwaZakhela, which is largely funded by some little bit of funds from the municipality there, from Transnet and from the lottery. That swimming pool in KwaZakhela will be totally refurbished, and it will be a really exciting facility. If any of the members are hail from that area, is to we would love to be in contact to take the member there to see for themselves. The other thing that was research, we do have very good research, PMI research, and I think we must make that available to the committee so the committee can see where swimming is in relation to our other codes of sport, how many people participate formally in swimming, how many people participate informally in swimming. It's quite astounding to see that amount of people that do participate in water sport in this country. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, again through you, the question with regards to APAFIT experienced in terms of corporate or private sponsorship, it's a serious cause for concern. I suspect not only for swimming, but across various aspects of our lives, you know, as a country that's going through transition. I guess I'm not too sure, you know, that the burden that we tend to load on our government in terms of expectations for funding, one wants to believe, you know, that certainly with the amount of profits that some of the you know, multinationals and national companies that are operating within our business sector in the country, there has to be some form of, you know, benefits that we derive as communities, you know, from these businesses. And where, for example, the sporting code like us as Swimming South Africa, we're not succeeding in seeing success in as far as our approaches for sponsorships, you know, are concerned. You know, it's just something that's worrying to say that we're trying to build, you know, the nation, and I suspect that sport having been identified as a catalyst for community development, nation building, and social cohesion, you know, the limited funding that we even receive from government will never allow us to be able to get to where we want to as speedily as we would love to. And I'm not too sure, you know, that countries that have gone through a transition like we've gone through, how is it that private corporate companies have been made to come to the table and to the party to also play their active role? Because, you know, one of the things that the president speaks about is that we're very proud about corporate governance, assuming South Africa, to an extent that the Department of Sport gave us accolades, you know, a few years ago in terms of how we just manage the finances. Now, if we pride ourselves with that, and whenever there are these world competitions and we are delivering and the country becomes proud and hails, you know, the medals that the athletes come from, you know, how is it that the very same corporates that would then take out adverts and congratulate those athletes are not the same people that see value in terms of supporting us through our Learn to Swim program, where we teach, you know, ordinary black children, for example, how to swim? Because that is also a very important element in as far as changing mindset, you know, this notion that black people will never, you know, participate in the form of you know, elite competitions. So it's an anomaly that we're battling with, Chair. It's an issue that doesn't sit very well with us, that we are just being shunned, you know, by corporate South Africa, and one is just not sure how to tackle an element like that.
Okay, thank you very much. Any follow-ups, Honorable Musi?
No.
Is it only Musi who is making a follow-up? Okay. Honorable Musi?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I actually, Chairperson, had asked a question as to whether there is anything that the officials are doing that would ensure that in future there is streaming in rural areas. I spoke about the research, but it looks like they are fine about it. Probably they've done it before, and would tell us about it. But Chairperson, what I was actually trying to get was to like I said, that when we meet them again, they would be able to tell us that, look, we have done our research. We have seen that for a swimming pool, a standardized swimming pool in a rural area, a deep rural area, would cost this much. It would need this type of people that would take care of it for the maintenance of it. Where would it get water from? What would happen to that water when it's no more healthy? You know, you know, such questions. And I'm saying that would only require a person who is very professional in order to do. But otherwise, Chairperson, if you don't do this, and I've said it again, if you don't do this, we are going to end up taking about 100 years for rural areas to begin to have swimming pools. Because in what I heard from the president, when he spoke about a rural splash, he then immediately mentioned Soweto. I'm not sure that's the category that you regard Soweto under. But Chairperson, you know, when we speak of rural areas, we speak rural. I'm not sure whether you are from Cape Town, but if you are from Cape Town, a place like Prince Charles, on your way to Beaufort West, to me would be rural. If you speak of Polokwane. Polokwane, to me, it's apartheid means Pietersburg, and that is a town. And I would think that there would be, you know, smaller Nyana areas around Polokwane. It is fine. But when you speak about Limpopo and speak of its rural places, we speak of places like Lephalale, far away from. When you speak Zanin, far away from Polokwane. When you speak of the Northwest, you speak of places like, you know, that's about 500 kilometers away from Rustenburg. Those are rural areas. When you are in Northern Cape, you'd be speaking of the Kuruma areas, places in that is far deep rural areas. Otherwise, if we say we are in democracy and we don't take care of those areas, and they are citizens of this country. And I've said it, and I'm saying it again, that, you know, in this country, in this South Africa, things are bad for a person who's in rural areas. Things used to be bad for a black person in this country, but our things are bad for a person in this country who is in a rural area.
Very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair? We are very much on the same page as our honorable member. In Vembe, there are six swimming pools in that entire area. We're starting a program there. And that, what you're talking about, is exactly what we want to do. Because, look, I don't want to talk politics, I'm just a sports administrator. Yeah, sure.
Okay, let me just give Honorable Manana a chance so that you can round up.
Okay.
Chair, thank you. I just want to to pass this to the executive that is here now, that in the near future, the AGM, the gender balance, before the gender commission come to Swimming South Africa. Because when I look at your AGM, the previous in 2016, I only see only two women there. So it's only the boys choir. I can call it boys choir because a lot of men in this document. And in your financial history, Jefferson, they got this qualified opinion. So I was looking at the expenditure here in the facilities upgraded. I think when they come next time, they must just give us a list because we are doing our oversight so that we'll be able to know that you are upgrading these facilities with so much money, and we'll be knowing how much expenditure you have. And all the sponsorship as well. We need a list of the sponsorship because I can see in your financial statement you do have the sponsorship. So that we will be able to
Okay, President, you can do it.
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to check this. I think Honourable Member was outside when we gave the feedback on the sponsorship.
Okay.
But we will provide a full detail.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, there's a request, two things, Chair, to provide to the committee the corrected bylaws with a correct index. It was just the update of the index that needed to be done. And then the corrected...
this is with the sponsors.
Yes, and the presentation as well, before it circulated. The second request, Chair, is the research that my president just promised. You know, those research must be commissioned by research houses, and normally corporates go and buy it. So my concern is if we provide it to the committee, then becomes a public record document, right? And then those people won't have to pay for it to go buy it, and we pay to go and get it. So is there any chance that the document will be out in committee, including the sponsorship information, Chair, which is a request from us? Otherwise, we have no leverage as rights holders. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right. We want to move towards closure, President.
Thank you, sir.
So we thank you very much for having come. We expect you to go through with your promises of just giving us information, if possible, inviting us to some of your events where we can use our own tickets to go and witness. Thank you very much. You can be released because we are going to proceed with our next business. You can grab a cold drink there when you...
Let's go through the minutes, honourable members. What's wrong? Yeah, close the door. You did get a chance to read, honourable members. Do you want me to give you a chance, or we can just go page by page? Okay, page one. I'm not sure, what is that now, Sune? Yeah, it's the 1st of October. Those are the ones that we have. We've got the 1st of November. Sune, what are you doing to us now? Hey, Sune, you are lazy. You know, when you do those things, I'm not sure what must I do. Sune?
No, Mr. Alakoma, I was just inquiring whether it was the 31st October or the 1st November. I've been informed that the minutes before the committee are dated the 1st of November. So, there's clarification on that. Thank you.
So can we proceed to page one? What's wrong now, Honorable Bertman and Somo? Because I want to go page by page. Page one, page two. Page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. Are there any corrections? Are we happy with the minutes? If we are happy, can someone move for the adoption? Honorable Musi moves, Honorable Abrahams seconds. So the minutes have been adopted without the corrections. In the main, this is, I'm not sure whether you want us to do matters arising, because basically the minutes are about the BRRR report. Maybe the key thing is that it was ATC'd last week. When is it? When was it ATC'd? Sometime last week, Thursday or Wednesday, I'm not sure. But I know that it's scheduled for next week, Thursday, on the 23rd, for discussion. But as you know, it's just 2 minutes declaration. Yeah. So, are we happy, members, that there are no other matters arising in terms of these minutes, except what I have said? Honorable Musi. Okay. Do you want to give us a feedback? Because you gave us hope, because you gave us certain information in terms of about Cuba and some stuff of traveling police and so on and so on. So you might have given us hope that everything is promising. Can we hear Sunet?
Mr. Rahuma, I have the last indication I received from that office from Pretoria was that they had written to the Havana office and that they were waiting for information. I think the brief did assist because I had to inquire based on the questions I received from my colleague. It appeared as if she did not receive the attached brief, and I resent it, and then I got that answer. I'm waiting for that information, but since I have written the entire application, I've written the motivation based on the committee's strategic plan, which was also a very strong international agreement. That's been completed. The costing I completed yesterday, based on what I could find out myself. But what I am waiting for is the specific destinations outside of Havana. So that would be the only avenue I can see is to just follow up with that, send them my facts, so that one can elicit a response and go from there. Because it's very important to submit an application before the end of the month. Because of in January there will be nobody here to sign.
Yeah,
the other thing that must be kept in mind is the discussion on numbers.
On?
Numbers. I have so that's what I will. All I can do is do that to get things moving is to send documents in to get responses, and that I will do as soon as I can. I'll send some today because I did the costing yesterday in the afternoon, what I thought. So we could start eliciting some responses based on what we send. That is the only method I can think of.
Please, you know, if you can push that, because even yesterday Mabika was raising these frustrations with me. Honorable Mabika?
I just need clarity as to where is she waiting for the response from. Is it from the officials of parliament or the response from Cuba? And what numbers is she referring to? Numbers, financial, money, delegation, what number is she talking about?
I'm awaiting feedback from the desk in Havana, or the Cuban desk, via Durka, and I'm referring to the delegation number of people.
But that is informed by policy, isn't it?
Yes, it is informed by policy. The latest one that I had was I sent to members, which was the one dated 2009, and that is also informed by the recent practice. So, first of all, I'm going to try and get the best scenario for the committee, and then based on what's responded from my House Chair's office, we will work accordingly. But right now, I'm working on the best possible representation in terms of numbers.
I was still
working with the colleagues that tells about coke most of the time. Coke.
Well, coke, what do you say? Coke from the party.
I mean, there is a policy that speaks to representation. So
yeah.
In most of the cases, it will say this party and this party say cope and then goes down. Are we still, is that the policy that is still working in?
No, it will be informed by the current representation of the party, and then we'll work out the representation based on what is the composition of the party in terms of the parties that are permanent here and alternate, and then work out the proportionality in terms of if they limit the numbers, ensure that we try to cover all the parties.
If you correct, Mr. Alakoma, it's the principle of the party representation currently. So it would just be parallel to that, because it would work in exactly the same way. It doesn't matter if that party in the document is no longer there.
Yeah, we can't speak of coup if it's no longer part of this.
Yeah, but Chair, I mean, it's not for this meeting, but it tells me that the policy is outdated. Because if it says is the ANC, is the GA and COPE, what do you say when the COPE says we want to be part because the part
no,
policy
they
says
are not part of this.
I'm just saying because it's what is written. We've got nothing else that says something else different from what is written. It's just a common understanding to say it used to be like that because of that time, you see. But in terms of the policy...
Who is responsible for this, Sune? Because Honorable Mabika is right. We were supposed to have updated the police. Because it can remain... Or let me put it, because COPE has gone down even more than EFF now. Then the police applied then, but at the moment, I mean, it was more just to understand it that this is how we'll apply. But from where I'm sitting, we'll use on the basis of what is applicable in this committee. COPE can't come and say, you know, I mentioned that because they never come here except to read the ETC, our reports, and then participate in the House. But they never participate here. In terms of this one, we know who participates. We also know who participates in terms of even alternates. We know who are the alternates that participate. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is closed.